Chapter 7. A man in his mid-twenties was edging his way into the tiny cafe. He was short, slight, and extravagantly good-looking. "Hey, Derek," he said, and the driver and the security guard exchanged a deft greeting, gripping each other's hands and bumping knuckles, before Colobus Jones took his seat beside Wilson. A masterpiece produced by an indecipherable cocktail of races. Colobus Jones's skin was olive bronze, his cheekbones chiselled, his nose slightly aquiline, his black-lashed eyes a dark hazel, his straight hair slicked back off his face. His startling looks were thrown into relief by the conservative shirt and tie he wore, and his smile was consciously modest, as though he sought to disarm other men and preempt their resentment. "Where's the car?" asked Derek. "Electric Lane." Colobus Jones pointed with his thumb over his shoulder. "I've got maybe 20 minutes. Gotta be back at the West End by 4. How you doing?" he added, holding out his hand to Strike, who shook it. "Kieran Colobus Jones. You're Cormoran Strike. Derek says you've got..." Yeah, said Colobus Jones. "I don't know whether it matters, probably not, but the police didn't give a shit. I just wanna know I've told someone, right? I'm not saying it wasn't suicide, you understand?" he added. "I'm just saying I'd like this thing cleared up. Coffee, please, love," he added to the middle-aged waitress, who remained impassive, impervious to his charm. "What's worrying you?" Strike asked. "I was Drover, right?" said Colobus Jones, launching into a story in a way that told Strike he had rehearsed it. "She always asked for me." "Did she have a contract with your company?" "Yeah, well, it's run through the front desk," said Derek. "One of the services provided. If anyone's a car, we call X the cars, Kieran's company." "Yeah, but she always asked for me," Colobus Jones reiterated firmly. "You got on with her, did you?" "Yeah, we got on good," said Colobus Jones. "We'd got, you know, I'm not saying close. Well, close, yeah, kind of. We were friendly. The relationship had gone beyond driver and client, right?" "Yeah? How far beyond?" "Nah, nothing like that," said Colobus Jones with a grin. "Nothing like that." The Strike saw that the driver was not at all displeased that the idea had been mooted, that it had been thought plausible. "I'd been driving her for a year. We talked a lot, you know? Had a lot in common. Similar backgrounds, you know?" "In what way?" "Mixed race," said Colobus Jones. "And things were a bit dysfunctional in my family, right? So I knew where she was coming from. She didn't know that many people like her, not once she got famous. Not to talk to properly." "Being mixed race was an issue for her, was it? Growing up black in a white family, what do you think?" "And you had a similar childhood?" "My father's half West Indian, half Welsh. My mother's half Scouse, half Greek." "Lily used to say she envied me," she said, sitting up a little straighter. "She said, you know where you come from, even if it is bloody everywhere." "And on my birthday, right?" he added, as though he had not yet sufficiently impressed upon Strike something he felt was important. "She gave me this geese-a-made jacket that was worth, like, 900 quid. Evidently expected to show a reaction, Strike nodded, wondering whether Colobus Jones had come along simply to tell somebody how close he had been to Lula Landry. Satisfied, the driver went on. "So, right, the day she died, day before, I should say, I drove her to her mum's in the morning, right? And she was not happy. She never liked going to see her mother."
"Why not?"
"Because that woman's fucking weird," said Colobus Jones. "I drove them both out for a day once. I think it was the mother's birthday. She's fucking creepy, Lady Yvette. Darling, my darling, Tallulah. Every other word. She used to hang off her. Just fucking strange and possessive and over the top, right? Anyway, that day, right, her mum had just got out of the hospital. So that wasn't going to be fun, was it? So Lily wasn't looking forward to seeing her. She was uptight like I'd never seen her before. And then I told her I couldn't drive her that night because I was booked for DB Mac, and she wasn't happy about that neither."
"Why not?"
"Because she liked me driving her, didn't she?" said Colobus Jones, as though Strike was being obtuse. "I used to help her out with the paps and stuff, do a bit of bodyguard stuff to get her in and out of places." By the merest flicker of his facial muscles, Wilson managed to convey what he thought of the suggestion that Colobus Jones was bodyguard material. "Couldn't you have swapped with another driver and driven her instead of Mac?"
"I could have, but I didn't want to," Colobus Jones confessed.
I'm a big DB fan. Wanted to meet him. That's what Lily was pissed off about. Anyway, he hurried on. I took her to her mum's and waited. And then this is the bit I want to tell you about, right? She'd come out of her mother's place and she was strange. Not like I'd ever seen her, right? Quiet, really quiet. Like she was in shock or something. Then she asked me for a pen and she started scribbling something on a bit of blue paper. Wasn't talking to me. Wasn't saying anything. Just writing. So I drove her to Vashti because she was supposed to be meeting her friend there for lunch, right? What's Vashti? What friend? Vashti is this shop, boutique they call it. There's a cafe in it. Trendy place. And the friend was... Columbus Jones clicked his fingers repeatedly, frowning. She was that friend she'd made when she was in hospital for her mental problems. What was her fucking name? He used to drive the two of them around. Christ. Ruby? Roxy? Raquel? Something like that. She was living at the same St. Elmo hostel in Hammersmith. She was homeless. Anyway, Lula goes into the shop, right? And she told me on the way to her mother she was going to have lunch there, right? But she's only in there a quarter of an hour or something. Then she comes out alone and tells me to drive her home. So that was a bit fucking strange, right? And Raquel, or whatever her name is, it'll come back to me, wasn't with her. We used to give Raquel a lift home normally when they'd been out together. And the blue piece of paper was gone. And Lila never said a word to me all the way back home. Did you mention this blue paper to the police? Yeah. They didn't think it was worth shit, said Gullivers Jones. Said it was probably a shopping list. Can you remember what it looked like? It was just blue. Like airmail paper. He looked down at his watch. Gotta go in 10. So, that was the last time you ever saw Lula? Yeah, it was. He picked at a corner of his fingernail. What was your first thought when you heard that she was dead? I don't know, said Colliver Jones, chewing at the hangnail he had been picking. I was fucking shocked. You don't expect that, do you? Not when you've just seen someone hours before. The press were all saying it was Duffield, because they'd had a row in the nightclub and stuff. I thought it might have been him, to tell you the truth. Bastard. You knew him, did you? I drove him a couple of times, said Colliver Jones. A flaring of his nostrils, a tightness around the lines of his mouth, together suggested a bad smell. What did you think of him? I thought he was a talentless loser. With unexpected virtuosity, he suddenly adopted a flat, drawling voice. Are we going to need him later, Lules? He better away, yeah? Said Colliver Jones, crackling with temper. Never once spoke to me directly. Ignorant, sponging piece of shit. Derek said, sotto voce. Kieran's an actor. Just bit parts, said Colliver Jones. So far. And he digressed into a brief exposition of the television dramas in which he had appeared, exhibiting, in Strike's estimation, a marked desire to be more to be considered more than he felt himself to be, to become endowed, in fact, with that unpredictable, dangerous, and transformative quality, fame. To have had it so often in the back of his car, and to not yet have caught it from his passengers, must, thought Strike, have been tantalising, and perhaps infuriating. Kieran auditioned for Freddie Pastigui, said Wilson, didn't you? Yeah, said Colvis Jones, with a lack of enthusiasm that told the outcome plainly. How did that come about? Asked Strike. Usual way, said Colliver Jones, with a hint of hauteur. Through my agent. Nothing came of it. They decided to go in another direction, said Colliver Jones. They wrote out the part. Okay, so you picked up Demi Mac from where? Heathrow? That night? Terminal 5, yeah, said Colliver Jones, apparently brought back to a sense of mundane reality and glancing at his watch. Listen, I better get going. All right, if I walk you back to the car, said Strike. Wilson showed himself happy to go along too. Strike paid the bill for all three of them, and they left. Out on the pavement, Strike offered both his companions cigarettes. Wilson declined. Colliver Jones accepted. A silver Mercedes was parked a short distance away, around the corner in Electric Lane. Where did you take DB when you arrived? Strike asked Colliver Jones as they approached the car. He wanted a club, so I took him to Bark. What time did you get him there? Dunno, 11:30? 11:45? He was wired. Didn't want to sleep, he said. Why Barrack? Friday night at Barrack's best hip-hop night in town, said Colliver Jones on a slight laugh, as though this was common knowledge. He must have liked it, because he'd gone three by the time he came out again. So So did you drive him to Kentigern Gardens and find the police there, or I'd already heard on the car radio what had happened, said Collops Jones. I told DB when he got back to the car. His entourage all started making phone calls, waking up people at the record company, trying to make other arrangements. They got him a suite at Claridge's. I drove him there. I didn't get home till gone 5. Switched on the news and watched it all on Sky. Fucking unbelievable. I've been wondering who let the paparazzi staking out on number 18 know that what DB wasn't going to be there for hours. Someone tipped them off. That's why they left the street before Lula fell. Yeah? I don't know, said Collis Jones. He increased his pace very slightly, reaching the car ahead of the other two and unlocking it. Didn't Mac have a lot of luggage with him? Was it in the car with you? Nah, it had all been sent ahead by the record company days before. He got off the plane with just a carry-on bag and about 10 security people. So you weren't the only car sent for him. There were four cars, but DB himself was with me. Where did you wait for him while he was in the nightclub? I just parked the car and waited, said Collis Jones, just off Glasshouse Street. With the other three cars? Were you all together? You don't find four parking spaces side by side in the middle of London, mate, said Collis Jones. I don't know where the others are parked. Still holding the driver's door open, he glanced at Wilson, then back at Strike. How's any of this matter? He demanded. I'm just interested, said Strike, in how it works when you're with a client. It's fucking tedious, said Collis Jones, with a sudden flash of irritation. That's what it is. Driving's mostly waiting around. Have you still got the control for the doors to the underground garage that Lula gave you? Strike asked. What? Said Collis Jones, although Strike would have taken an oath that the driver had heard him. The flicker of animosity was undisguised now, and it seemed to extend not only to Strike, but also to Wilson, who had listened without comment since noting aloud that Collis Jones was an actor. Have you still got... Yeah, I've still got it. I still drive Mr. Bastigui, don't I? Said Collis Jones. Right, I gotta go. See you, Derek. He threw his half-smoked cigarette into the road and got into the car. If you remember anything else, said Strike, like the name of the friend Lula was meeting in Vashti, will you give me a call? He handed Collis Jones a card. The driver, already pulling on his seatbelt, took it without looking at it. I'm gonna be late. Wilson raised his hand in farewell. Collis Jones slammed the car door, revved the engine, and reversed out of the parking place, scowling. Bit of a starfucker, said Wilson, as the car pulled away. It was a kind of apology for the younger man. He loved driving her. He tries to drive all the famous ones. He's been hoping Pestigio'll cast him for something for 2 years. He was well pissed off when he didn't get that part. What was it? Drug dealer. Some film. They walked off together in the direction of Brixton Underground Station, past a gaggle of black schoolgirls in uniforms with blue plaid skirts. One girl's long beaded hair made Strike think again of his sister Lucy. Bastigui's still living at number 18, is he? Asked Strike. Oh, yeah, said Wilson. What about the other two flats? There's a Ukrainian commodities broker and his wife renting flat 2 now. Got a Russian interested in 3, but he hasn't made an offer yet. Is there any chance, asked Strike, as they were momentarily impeded by a tiny hooded, bearded man like an Old Testament prophet who stopped in front of them and slowly stuck out his tongue, that I could come and have a look inside sometime? Yeah, all right, said Wilson after a pause in which his gaze slid furtively over Strike's lower legs. Buzz me. But it'll have to be when Bistique was out, you understand. He's one quarrelsome man and I need my job.